Welcome to The Ground Truth, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. I'm your host, Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Here with me today is Mark Bowling, VP of Security Response Services at ExtraHop. Mark, welcome back. It's so great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Hillary, it's great to be back. Thank you for inviting me back. I guess I didn't chase you off last time.
No, not at all. You're a fantastic guest. And I'm looking forward to today's discussion. This is super topical.
Outstanding. Let's go.
So before joining ExtraHop, as we talked about in the last episode together, you had a long career in cybersecurity and intelligence, including time at the FBI and Department of Education. So given your experience in the public sector, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the sanctions that the Biden administration recently placed on Russia for their role in the SolarWinds Sunburst attack.
Hillary, that is a great question. And I do not want to sound critical, first of all. Being the leader of the free world is no easy task. And I do not want to sound at all critical of the current administration. In fact, any observations that I make go from the current administration, the Biden administration, through the Trump administration, through the Obama administration, all the way back to when Russia and China first started their free-for-all on our critical information systems. But the fact is that the countermeasures we have taken publicly and privately have introduced very, very little incentive for our adversary or adversaries to quit engaging in their overt and blatant hacking of our government and commercial system. They are targeting in a very, it's almost a free-for-all. It's the wild, wild west, the way that China for years has been attacking us. And now we see Russia and even Iran and North Korea targeting our systems, including our critical infrastructures that manage how we as a people live our life on a daily basis. The response, back to your question, the immediate response from the Biden administration was frankly a lot of bark with absolutely no bite. We essentially told a bunch of diplomats to go home, and that's their job. It's their job to go to nations, and it's their job to leave those nations when they're no longer welcome. And that provides basically no material deterrent to Russia or, frankly, any of our other adversaries that might cause them or lead them or induce them to quit, to stop egregiously hacking into our government and our corporate systems. Let me tell you, the U.S. has been verbally reprimanding adversarial nations for years. We've even charged Chinese intelligence officers who work for their one of the Ministry for State Security, MSS, for hacking into our systems. And you know how much impact that has had? None. It's had absolutely no effect. In fact, and this is my opinion, our responses, because they've been so weak, have emboldened our adversaries. It has led our adversaries to become even more overt. And let me give you an example. For years, Russia's hacking was typically very covert. They were like to be super sneaky. But they watched for years our tepid responses to the years of China, overt Chinese hacking. I mean, the Chinese intelligence organs were. And let me not just beat up on China. Let me call this the Chinese Communist Party, okay? I don't want anybody to feel like I'm targeting an ethnic group, but the Chinese Communist Party, the government of Communist China, has been absolutely overt in attacking our systems. They attack our systems for military intelligence. They attack our systems for political intelligence. And they attack our systems for commercial espionage, for getting an advantage in the commercial playing field. And I believe, and this is my opinion, those tepid responses to China has indirectly led our other adversaries, such as Russia and China, to be even more overt. let's just do it. Let's go for it all, because guess what? Nothing's going to happen. There are no consequences. And I believe, and this is my opinion again, that our current lackluster response will only lead to more aggressive cyber attacks, cybersecurity attacks in the future from our very dangerous nation-state adversaries.
So, Mark, since you don't view the sanctions as imposing enough, what steps or mandates would you propose that the administration add in to make more of an impact on the security of our public agencies and private companies?
So that's a great question. I don't have all the answers right off the top of my head, but one of the suggestions I've seen, and I think it's a remarkable suggestion, it's what has been called a software bill of material. I think it's a great idea, and it has a lot of merit both in implementation and in theory, okay? And let me explain what this means. So many applications are built on both open source libraries and on modules that they get from other software vendors. So what we should do, and I'm going to give a thumbs up to this suggestion, is that we absolutely must implement the software bill of material. I think it should be approved of, certainly on the national security level. And basically, let me explain it like this. Think of it as supply chain. This is the supply chain for software. And so the reason the whole solar sunburst incident happened was because the solar winds supply chain was compromised with the Orion module, the Orion component, okay? And because of this, because of that activity, and I'll hit on Orion a little bit later, but because of that activity, SolarWinds didn't have a really good idea of what was actually in their software. So my big thumbs up, two thumbs up, is for the software bill of material. But I think we can go farther than that. In addition to a software bill of material, I think we should have what one of my colleagues has called quite intelligently, quite wittily, a software bill of behavior. I think it's a very clever term. And a bill of behavior is not necessarily something that can be defined, but let me give you the context of what I'm talking about. I believe that every piece of software that goes in a corporate or government system should have published a set or a library of what are called known software behaviors. It will do this. If it does not do this, then we're not delivering what you need. And if it's doing something outside of that software bill of behavior, then that is an anomaly that needs to be investigated, okay? So I believe that there should be, at a minimum, a published set for each piece of software, a library of known behaviors that has been documented, perhaps even by an independent agency, such as Underwriters Laboratory documents this physical safety of household components. And let me touch on SolarWinds real quick. The problem, SolarWinds had two problems. The first problem is that its behavior was that it is very noisy, okay? So because SolarWinds, as a network mapping tool and as a network management tool and as a network intelligence tool, was very noisy, that noise provided what I call a smokescreen or concealment. That concealment provided cover for the actions of an adversary, okay? So when the adversary compromised a network, the consequences of that compromise were concealed because SolarWinds provided obfuscation for that. And then on top of that, the second problem was the outsourcing of modules and components, such as Orion, allowed for the SolarWinds application to be compromised through the supply chain. So what we had was a bit of a perfect storm. The adversary came in to the networks through an insecure supply chain, but then we failed to identify it because of the noise in the system produced by SolarWinds. The noise acted as a smokescreen. The smokescreen obfuscated the aggressive actions of the attacker.
That makes a lot of sense. So Mark, what do you predict will happen in the next 10 years if stricter sanctions or perhaps some of those recommendations are not imposed? Like, what impact will this have on private enterprises?
So I'm going to talk in terms of consequences, strategic consequences, but I'm also going to discuss what I'm going to call the symptoms. So what are the symptoms going to be? I'm going to hit the strategic consequences first. The strategic consequences are going to be that the United States will be less competitive economically and less capable geopolitically. I'm not going to use the term militarily. We will be less capable geopolitically. Okay. If we continue to allow the Russians and the Chinese to steal our military secrets from our defense contractors, and we allow our adversaries to have a very robust understanding of the capabilities of our Department of Defense, that makes us less competitive geopolitically. Does that make sense, Hillary?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think how you explained that was really helpful.
Right. And then let me talk about the private enterprises. It's going to make our private enterprises less competitive in the global marketplace. You know, I have some friends at they make switches and routers. It's a big company. I'm not going to talk about it. And one thing that we talked about was how a company, a switch and router company in from China, if you look at their source code still has the comments of the American company, the American company's internet operating system code. It's ridiculous. And that Chinese company, because it's stolen intellectual property from this American company, has just advanced into the international marketplace to the point where nations such as the United Kingdom and even here in the United States, we've said we do not want those components in our information infrastructure. One, because they were built on intellectual property that was stolen, but two, because those can provide a backdoor into our critical infrastructure, potentially to our adversaries. So if we do not start taking more seriously as a nation the economic and geopolitical behavior of our adversaries, then we will be less competitive geopolitically. We will be less competitive economically. And what that means to the mom and dads at home who are trying to put food on the table is that their salaries will go down. They might lose jobs because jobs will be shipped overseas. And maybe their children won't have the same opportunities that I had growing up.
Mark, this has been such a great episode, and I really appreciate your unique perspective and an experience that you bring to these topics. So thank you so much for joining us. And I'm looking forward to next time.
Thank you very much. I'm having a great time on these. And as you stated, I'm looking forward to next time likewise.
Excellent. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. The Ground Truth is brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about our sponsor, ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.